checking out my podcast, I promise to keep real talk true to its title. Always honest and always real. Highs and lows. It was funny. Somebody asked me the other day, like, Los, how are you so chill? Like, how do you just, like, seem unbothered? And it just kind of made me laugh, like, a little bit, because I've been told that before. Some people instantly know that I'm from California. Hey, man, you're from California, aren't you? Because you're so chill. You're so cool. Like, and I'm like, yo, this is hilarious. Like, what do I walk around? Like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm perceived. You know, we can't see ourselves, unfortunately. But it kind of made me laugh. Like, how am I so chill? And I was like, let me just say first, like, for the record, oh, I got my moments. Like, even sometimes while I might seem chill outside, like, it's a lot of different thoughts going on and a lot of different emotions in my body. Maybe I just don't show it quite the same or vibrate that out the same, but I definitely have my moments. If I can really, really, like, and I thought about what he said, like, how are you so chill? And I used to panic a lot more. Like, growing up, like, I grew up in a super religious Christian home. So it was like, you know, that's like borderline paranoia of not sinning. You feel like you're going to go to hell instantly if you sin. So there's like that part of growing up like that, that was like, man, that had my emotions going. I was not chill. I was nervous. I was nervous that I was going to go to hell and that because I took that last cookie and said that I didn't, that this is all bad. Like, so that was like growing up. And my grandma, man, love you, Grammy, miss you. But she was a very worrisome person. Like, she used to worry all the time. And I think it was through her that I started to find my own ability to just chill out and not take certain things so seriously, because I just saw how it affected her. Like, she worried all the time about me or my sister or somebody else in the family. She loved people so much, but she worried so much. And I used to tell her, like, Grammy, don't worry, you know, like, just don't worry. Like, I didn't want her to worry just because I didn't like seeing my grandma like that. Like, that was like killing me to see that. And knowing that I couldn't take that from her, it was like, yo, don't worry. Like, so I think that was early for me, like, on a, yo, man, don't stress about certain things. Like, don't worry about everything, you know. Early on, that was an easy lesson. But there's also one that I got to peg and give credit to my mentor, Julio G, in radio at 92.3 The Beat in Los Angeles. So I'll take you back to this moment real quick. Actually, I don't think I was an intern anymore. I think I was getting my hourly pay over there by this point. I became Julio's show producer for the night show. He was on 6 to 10. He was killing it. He was doing, and if you don't know, 92.3 The Beat was here, a station here in Los Angeles. Definitely influenced hip-hop music and just hip-hop in general, I think, still to this day. Power 106, which you might know now is the hip-hop station, was the dance music station at that time. So there was The Beat, that was the hip-hop station. Power 106 was the dance station. Then Power started to play more hip-hop music and rap music. So Julio has been doing it since hip-hop first touched the radio at 1580 AM at K-Day. So he had been DJing since he was, what, 16 or super young. But I just want to give you his backstory. So he's seen, so you can now know this guy who's seen radio as a DJ, worked with Eazy-E, had the Ruthless radio show. Eazy was the one that brought him in to doing that radio show. And before he passed, so Julio really kept it rocking just for that. Tony G was involved as well. Tony is another legend. Original K-Day Mixmaster assembled that whole DJ crew. So I know I'm just going back reminiscing, like, those dudes meant a lot to me. But Julio in particular was really just a mentor to me coming into this radio thing, that I probably wouldn't have the career that I've had if it wasn't for him telling me some real things and letting me know how this business works. Because this entertainment business is not created for you to just have a beautiful life. Like, it's stressful. It is stressful. It is strenuous. It will take you through the ringer. I've got friends that are artists that have just been through it, whether it was the major record deal to the indie deal to grinding it out on your own to all of the above. Like, this thing will get you flipped up and down. You want to talk about highs and lows. Spend enough time in this entertainment industry, you will see the illest of highs and the craziest of lows inevitably at some point. And you'll start to realize it's how you come back from that low and how you handle that high moment that is going to keep you around in here. I feel super blessed and fortunate to still be broadcasting, and now globally via Apple Music and Beats One, the opportunity to host a playlist over there. But one of the things that Julio said to me was at this moment when I was least expecting it. So he was pretty much killing the ratings at night. I mean, I can't really describe it better than him constantly forcing Power 106 to fire their night guy and bring in a new one. Like, that's literally, I believe he ran through 5 to 7 night shows. Power 106, yes, Julio G by himself at nights went through about 5 to 7 nights. Actually, Mello was in there too. DJ Melody, world famous Beat Junkies, was in there as well. Him and Julio. It just feels amazing that I can say I was a part of that show at that time. But he was running through them, like killing them, just ratings. They were not built for this dude. He was from LA. He knew what he was doing. His ear was to the street. He knew his music. So he's at the station. Things are good, right? I've painted this picture now like, yo, he's that guy. He's that guy at night. Anybody who's got a high record wants to come and see Julio. So the salespeople from the radio station were in there. They were like, oh my gosh, Julio, you're so great. You're so amazing. Oh my gosh, your ratings are killing. It's so sick. We're going to get you these endorsements and we're going to have some ads at night and tell Mello that his mix is going to be sponsored and da 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 da. He's like, okay, cool, man. Thanks. Thank you. And they would leave. And so, like, I kind of fit into that energy. I'm like young producer, you know, at the time. Like, I'm like, yeah, ooh, that's tight, bro. Like, yo, you're killing them, bro. Like, oh my gosh. So I'm feeding him that same energy. He looks at me. He's like, Losi, hey, bro, don't get caught up in all that, man. I'm like, huh? Like, man, that's great. Who, like, yo, you're number one again. Like, you're number one again, bro. Like, in L.A., like, this is crazy. Like, this is, to me, in my head, and looking at somebody who's on the radio, I'm thinking, like, don't you want to be number one? Isn't that, like, the thing? Like, so you should be, like, I mean, I don't know. Should magical champagne bottles pop from somewhere? Like, how does this work? Like, you're number one again. Nah, man, don't trip. Like, man, look. He's like, bro, look, the ratings are going to go down, all right? And then they're going to be talking crazy. And Julio used different words, and that's my brother. But he was like, yo, man, like they're up now. They're going to go down. Then they're going to come in, and they're going to talk their talk, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And then they're going to tell me I need to change all kind of things and this and that, and it's going to be that. And then, but it's cool. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, and we'll come back. I was so confused. I didn't even understand, like, any of what that meant. What do you mean it's going to go down, first of all? Like, you're number one. How do you lose? How does that happen when you're doing so great? But sure enough, ratings, if you know anything about ratings and Arbitron and how that whole, doozy of a system, to put it lightly and not go any deeper than that, works. The ratings dropped. And Julio wasn't number one, and sure enough, you know, those same account executives and sales managers that were singing Julio's praises, they weren't around as much anymore. Didn't really see them. They never popped their head in the studio. I was like, wow. Then the program director, hey, look, Julio, ratings are down. We're going to need you to ease up, soften up a little bit, okay? You're 9 o'clock bomb. You're playing too many unfamiliar hip-hop records, okay? This is way, you know. Now, mind you, there was no other way of getting new music at this moment. The internet was not around. You couldn't just find out what was popping. You had to listen to the radio. So Night Show was breaking music. So it was new. This is, you're talking about like, and this is new artists that are now like icons and legends. This is new artist DMX. Yeah. This is new artist Snoop Dogg. This is new artist. This is those. So you see what I'm saying? These are, they were new at that time. Julio was plugged into the culture of what was going on. So he knew, yo, this is what's popping. This is what the streets are listening to. I'm out in these clubs. I know what they rocking with. I know what's going down out here. Like, so, okay, cool. He would be like, all right, cool, cool, cool. He would kind of, I'll say, maybe play a song that might appease him at some point during the bomb. But other than that, he stuck straight to his guns and just kept rocking with what he knew. And the ratings came back. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, Julio, you were so amazing. And it was so great. And then them looking to you know, kind of get a little bit of that credit. Because, yeah, remember we talked about this and you did that. And, hey, the ratings are back up. And, hey, no. All right? Like, this is what this industry does. The highs, the lows. When you're down, they're going to kick you. They're going to stomp on you. When you're up high, it was partially their idea. And he told me, through all of this, man, look, don't get overly excited. Don't listen to them while they're pumping you up. And don't listen to them while they're kicking you while you're down, man. If you really know what's popping, you really on it, you're doing your part, just go with your gut, man. Just thug it out. And I feel like I've been able to apply that to almost every piece of my life. And Julio, I'm going to have to send him this podcast so we could listen to it, which you might not listen to, man. That dude be, nah, he might. But I appreciate you, man. Like, the way that he was able to explain that to me in the form of ratings and radio, it helped me in life because it kind of, it absolutely 100% reflects the same when you're up high. It's easy to get caught up, and when you're down low, it's easy to feel some type of way that you're good for nothing, that you can never, ever get back to that spot. But like I mentioned DMX earlier, like, he's back right now. He's looking to do his next bit with his career. He was a rapper. He was an actor. He was an influencer before the word influencer existed. And now in 2019, he's a grown man. He'll have his time. It'll come back. These highs and lows, they happen. For me, to keep cool, to keep chill, I guess it's just find that middle. Don't get overly excited about the highs. Feel good. Give yourself the credit. But don't drink the Kool-Aid and get caught up. And when you're down, you're not going to be down forever. So know that. All right? It's how you handle the highs and lows that's going to make you different. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Would love to hear what it meant to you. Shoot me a message at Chris Los Media on Twitter. Let me know you heard the podcast, and I'd love to send you an encouragement card. Thanks for your time, and have a great day.